Hi, it's January 25th. This is the October 2015 Life Coach Training. This is Coach the Coach 2. It's the fourth classes. And I'm Chris Marie Campbell, certified Martha Beck Coach, Master Coach. And we are doing ACT today. So what we're going to do is I'll do a check-in. So if any questions, because this is our last class together, as a foursome, you know, as a group where I'm chatting with you. So if there's questions you have on turnarounds, the work, anything like that, or even my body, I'm happy to help and chat. Then what we're going to do is we're going to turn to ACT tools, acceptance commitment therapy tools, and then we're going to actually have a duo who does the work. So that's the agenda for today. And I just want to make sure, Duska, I get you that you're here. Is that true?
Yes.
Hi. Okay. I think I've got everyone that's showing. I've got everyone collected on my roster that's showing up on my call log. So I will open it up to questions, comments, concerns. We focused on turnarounds last time. And so I just want to open it up to you guys because this is your time to chat. Other calls, it's a little less, you know, a little less free to kind of just chat about what's working and what's not.
Well, this is Catherine. I just wanted to, Duska and I were, I was a coach and she was a client at the end of last session.
Yes.
Yeah. So we did meet or mm-hmm. virtually. Duska, do you want to talk about what happened, what you came to?
Sure. How are you? I came to ultimately not trusting myself. And I have a business, so kind of this class would be, you know, very interesting. And I came to the point where I've had a business for 15 years, and I'm just getting to the point where I'm wanting to draw boundaries with clients and not be so accommodating with, you know, not being respected with last-minute things and kind of actually attracting my ideal client and the respect.
Yay!
I just like to service everyone and holding people's feet to the fire, so to speak, and the challenge of, like, wanting to accommodate because it's a service industry, but yet not, you know, also, like, again, drawing boundaries. And I've gotten fired already. You know, and I've fired clients already. And so I'm just going into these new territories, and so the whole – don't trust myself thing, just because it's new for me, and it's like all these questions, and I don't have a guide to go by, and I just kind of have to make a decision. And I'm ultimately have gotten where I've better defined the type of client that my staff and I want to serve, and it's now cleaning up who we're serving and who falls into that. So yeah, it was a wonderful session, and now I think what we decided, which was really helpful with the coaching, is working on a blanket letter to send to all clients and kind of defining what my expectations are and how that benefits them. And so I'm working on that, and she's so sweet to want to review the letter and just kind of guide me through that process. So that's where we are right now.
Very cool, Duska and Catherine. That's awesome. Let me just ask you one thing. Not trusting yourself, Duska, tell me more about that. You've gotten to a point where you don't trust yourself? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, just making decisions because making decisions, and I'm always thinking about the other person. Well, is that, you know, or is that going to be okay for them? Or and so then I become inconsistent, and it's not trusting myself. of, I almost want to say follow through, because I'm so worried about hurting anyone's feelings. I'm so worried about everybody else. And I think about me, and I go wishy-washy back and forth. And so it's that part of not trusting myself.
It sounds like through the work with Catherine, you're willing to define yourself as far as what you want for your ideal client, what you're willing and not willing to put up with, and communicating that out to the clients you have and also your staff and the universe in general. Does that fit?
Yes, yes. And it's been a, I don't want to say rocky road for a couple of years, but, you know, it's been testing things out and figuring it out. And, I'm starting to finally get a clearer version and vision of what it is that I want and how it's going to help the client. And I'm trying to, like, hone in on that and focus on it and better define it. So it feels good.
I love that.
Really,
yeah. And, you know, don't be surprised. You will, like you said, you've already gotten fired. You will lose clients that don't resonate with your energetic that you're putting out in the world, but you'll also attract a whole bunch more that do.
Yes, and that's what I'm going through right now. And coincidentally, the client that I did lose, we've been servicing them for over 10 years.
Wow.
So when you put that together, I knew, I wish I could have bet someone $1 million, because when I sent my letter out for my increase and some of my requests, I knew that client was going to fire us. I knew it. And
because
now I have another client that I want to fire. And that's like, how do I do that? It was easier if someone fired me.
Right, right. So yeah, and you say, you know, I think you'd be served and refer them to somebody else so that you're not leaving them hanging, but say, you know, I think you sound like a better fit for X, Y, or Z, if you know of your competitors, so you think that they'd be a better fit for. That's kind of
way. That's exactly what I'm finding out, is that, you know, it just fits for people. And I used to take every client, okay, and running around.
I know the feeling.
And I'm like, what am I doing?
That is so neat. Well, what awesome coaching Catherine must have been giving you, huh?
Yeah, she was great.
I'm teasing.
You're so funny. No, I really love that she's going to help me with this letter, and I love that I'm moving into a direction. I feel like I have some support in that and someone to bounce something off of. And direction. That's where we are, and this is kind of a perfect class for what I'm going through right now to be having conversations about.
That is awesome. Yay, I love that you guys were willing to give an update. So thank you, Catherine, Catherine, is there anything you want to say about the coaching that you've been doing, or can we have an update on DESCA?
It was as we went through, I think DESCA got clearer and clearer that she didn't want to give up her personal life. And then, you know, we got to that, well, she always says, you know, they say yes to everything and then bend over backwards, because the communication, she's been asking for communication, but there hasn't necessarily been a consequence if they don't communicate things early. You know,
right.
So then she said, well, you know, I'm going to tell them that if they don't give a week's notice for any changes, then they're going to be charged time and a half.
Mm.
So, you know, so, okay, well, you can ask for last minute changes, but it's going to cost you.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of where we went, is that, you know, she's been doing all she could to help her clients, which is good, but then it's starting to interfere with her personal life, which she's not willing to do anymore. So yeah, it was a lot of fun to kind of come to that point, and then you know, to ask her how she was going to move forward with that. And, yeah, she came up with a letter idea. So,
fabulous.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Good for you guys. And I so appreciate you guys checking in and doing the work in between and checking in and getting to a place. And, you know, you'll find that, you know, when you work with your clients, they are going to have to change some things and define themselves and make a broader, kind of a bolder statement about who they are in the world, and supporting them through that, because it's kind of scary because they've had the safe zone. And so, so I just really appreciate that. Awesome.
Yeah, I just chime in real quick. That's one. This is Jessica. That was one of the things that we did discuss. Is I taught people how to treat me, and I've spoiled them.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like trying to fix it. And that's, of course, you know, I'm learning a lot about myself doing it, but it's all new to me. So they're learning about themselves too. And so this is going to be a really interesting process to maneuver through.
Excellent. You guys could hopefully you'll continue to support each other as you go through the training. That's very neat, Duska, what you're doing. Excellent. Other successes or challenges or questions, comments?
I had a success. Okay. This is Alan.
Okay, Alan.
I coached my first non-cadet this week, and it's someone who's asked me for advice a lot in the past couple of years, and I was a little bit hesitant to start asking if she wanted to be coached, but I was like, what the fuck, go ahead. you don't know what's going to happen. So I said, hey, if you want to spend an hour or a little bit more and I can practice some of my tools and actually coach you on some of this stuff, I'd be more than willing to do that. And he agreed, and it went, it was just an interesting process because I felt really comfortable. Even though it was, I guess, coaching with all my buddies who are cadets, they know the tools and are willing to chip in and help with the tools. And with him, it was just a little bit more, it wasn't any more difficult, but it was just a little bit more thornier. And it took a little bit more hacking away at all the brambles around the limiting thoughts. So it was cool not to get overwhelmed and be like, okay, what am I feeling? What do I think he's feeling? And it just felt really pretty darn comfortable. And afterwards, I was like, well, I have no idea how that went. It kind of seems like he has some relief. And within a couple hours, he said, hey, that was really helpful. Can we meet again next week?
Yay!
Yeah, so,
snaps
yeah.
for Alan. Woo! That's awesome.
Yeah. So and it's funny. I'd been getting coached on. I don't know where I'm going to get clients. I don't know if anyone's going to want this. And it's happening. So it's cool.
Yes. And it is true. You know, with your clients that don't know, you know, aren't cadets, who aren't going through the same process, you have to do a little bit more of the heavy lifting, the leading. But if somebody is motivated and wants to get help, that's really the main thing. They'll engage. So that's really neat. Yay. Awesome, Alan. I love it. Congratulations.
I do too. Thanks.
Very cool. Okay, anyone else? Questions, comments, successes, failures? All are welcome. Okay. Well, we will move on to acceptance commitment therapy. And hopefully, I mean, what I'm going to share here will be kind of a review of if you've listened to Amy's demo or the video, but still just a different way of hopefully integrating. If you haven't, this will help. Acceptance commitment therapy really focuses on that there's two psychological processes that create our suffering. And those two processes are, one, cognitive fusion. Simple way of saying that is we're attached and believe our thoughts are true. We believe our thoughts are true, and our thoughts are not always true. That's one source of suffering. And we hold on to our thoughts because they kept us safe a long time ago, and they just haven't been updated. The second one is experiential avoidance. And that just means I don't want to feel, and so I stay above any sort of feeling sense of my body, and I just try to operate from my mind. And that, you can see how the mind-body tools are the antithesis of that, and the thought work is the antithesis of the cognitive fusion. And we're going to give you some more tools to add to your quiver here about loosening the thoughts, our attachment to our thoughts. And that is a really different concept. When I can, one, observe my thoughts as thoughts, they don't run me so much. There's me and there's my thoughts. And our, you know, we have a survival brain, the lizard brain, that scans for danger. That's its job. It's always going to do it, and it gets stuck in these ruts. But the, and we've never really stopped often. Many of us have not stopped, nor do we stop, to question, is that really true? And, or create space like, that's just a thought. It's not a reality. And that's what creates our suffering. So, we want to, we're going to give you some simple tools that you can kind of, the work is kind of like, you're going to go do it. You're going to do it in a coaching session. It's an inquiry. It's meditative. It takes some, it's a beautiful tool. These tools are a little bit more, sometimes they're helpful to use with a new client who's not necessarily, you get the sense, you get a hit from your marmoset that they're not ready to go for the work, or you're just kind of warming them up to get them used to this idea that this cognitive fusion, that they actually are believing these thoughts that aren't necessarily true. So they're easy to do. The reason I'm saying they're kind of great in-between session tools, everyday tools, is you can do them anytime, anywhere. If you're obsessing about something while you're unloading the dishwasher, they're just perfect. And they're great homework to give to clients in between. So I'm going to do a demo with somebody who's got a negative judgment about themselves. And so think about if you want to volunteer with that. It's not a painful demo. Don't worry. And while I'm doing that with my volunteer, I want each of you, so even right now, think of a negative judgment you have about yourself and write it down. And then, and so you can go through this as a parallel process while I take one of your classmates through this. So who is willing to be my demo person? It's really pretty painless.
I'll go.
Who is this?
Duska.
Duska. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So I want you, and this is what I want as if I'm talking to each of you. Of course, I'm going to frame it for Duska, but I'd like you to be able to try this on as best you can. So Duska, and everybody else, bring to mind an upsetting or recurring negative judgment that takes a form of, I am blank. I am stupid. I'm fat. I'm no good. I'm whatever, disorganized, foolish. Do you have one that comes up, Duska, when I suggest that?
I don't have enough time.
Well, a negative judge. Okay,
it has to be.
Make it for this.
I'm disorganized.
I'm disorganized. Does that really fit for you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Good. I want it to be really resonant. So everybody, write down. Everybody write down your own negative judgment about yourself, whether it's I'm disorganized, I'm never going to be successful, whatever. Now, it sounds like you think you should be more organized. Is that true, Duska?
Yes.
Okay. what's so bad about being disorganized?
It's feeling overwhelmed and not having a direction, feeling pulled in many directions, not being able to be present, thinking about I'm a big thinking about the future all the time. Anxiety. Yeah.
So would it tell me which one fits more for you? I'm disorganized or I should be organized?
I should be organized.
Okay. I should be organized. Okay. Now, I want you to bring a situation to the forefront of your mind, really get into it, and think the thought, I should be more organized. And let me know when you have that situation that you're in where you think the thought, oh, my God, I should be more organized.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on to that thought in your mind for several seconds and really believe it. I mean, like, even bring up evidence that it is true that I should be organized in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Just really just kind of lean into that. And as you're doing that, notice what's going on in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Any sensations or emotions that come up. And let me know when you're aware of sensations and emotions, when you really believe in that situation, oh, I should be more organized.
I'm there.
Okay, so tell me what you feel in your body and emotionally.
Well, I take a deep breath, and I feel anxious and to my chest area, and I move my neck back and forth because it's stiff, and my shoulders are tight, and my emotion is, I would say, anxiety, and
where do you feel that in your body?
Mostly in my chest.
Okay.
My heart palpitating. And
okay.
My breathing is labor.
Okay. So your breathing is labor. Do you feel this? Your chest, your heart's palpitating. Your neck is stiff. Your shoulders are tight. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to insert, and everybody at home can do this as well. I'm having the thought that I should be more organized. And I want you to say it out loud, that whole statement, like 3 times, and notice what happens in your body as you do. I'm having the thought that I should be more organized.
I'm having the thought that I should be more organized. I'm having the thought that I should be more organized. I'm having the thought that I should be more organized.
And just tell us what goes on in your body as you repeat that statement.
I start to relax and feel calmer.
Mm-hmm.
My breathing becomes more consistent. yeah.
Go ahead. I've interrupted you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, my shoulders feel a little bit less tight, and I just feel more calm, more aware.
Mhm. Okay. More calm, more aware. Your breathing is more consistent. Your shoulders are less tight. You start to relax. And just notice, everybody at home, what goes on for you as you say that. And now I want you to take that same thought, and I want you to put one other phrase on it. And again, notice, see what happens. The phrase is, I notice I'm having the thought I should be more organized. And say it out loud 2 or 3 times. I notice I'm having the thought.
I notice I'm having the thought that I should be more organized. I notice that I'm having the thought that I should be more organized. I notice I'm having the thought that I should be more organized. I feel relief. I feel more in control. I feel more connected.
Very cool. Was it worth saying six statements to shift how you felt?
Yeah.
Because that's all you did was, you know, it, what the senses, and often people, and I'm going to ask some people from our home audience there what they experienced, but there's often this space, the sense of more space from the thought. It's like, oh, that is a thought, and there's like an arm distance between you and the thought. And it seems like each time I'm having the thought, you felt a shift, a significant shift. But then even when you said, I notice I'm having the thought, there's you, I'm the noticing one, and then there's the thought, and there's more relief, more in control, and more connected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. So I'm going to open it up. Thank you, Duska, for being willing to do that.
You're welcome.
yeah. See if anybody else had, and somebody might not have had that experience. So if you struggled with it, or if you did have the same experience, if you could let us know, that would be great.
Chris, this is Ray.
Yeah, Ray.
I had an experience where I actually started laughing at the thought. It sounded so, like, it was so egoic and so, just ego-centered that I had to laugh at it once I entered that language to begin, at the beginning of it.
What a treat!
Cool. Yeah, that was awesome.
That is very neat. I love that you shared that. What, can you share what your thought was?
Yeah, it was, I should be the best.
Good.
Right? Like,
okay.
Totally ego-centered.
Yeah. Yes, I'm having the thought that I should be the best. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing. Someone else? Okay, you quiet people. That's okay. So this is really something you can use. Like, how I like to use this tool is, let's say I've done the work with somebody, so they have their original thought, and they have their turnarounds, and they pick their favorite turnarounds, but because that highway in their brain is there, they're going to likely go back to that original thought. And so after I do the work with them, the next week I suggest, you know, if that thought comes up again, I want you to try using, oh, I'm having the thought that I should be more organized, if that was their painful thought. And I notice I'm having the thought, and saying it out loud two or three times, I encourage them to do that, and then try on the turnaround. So pivot kind of to the turnaround and see how that feels. So that's a way, one, to integrate it into the work after you've done the work. I'm having the thought, I notice I'm having the thought. The other way is, before you do the work, is to start this helping people get the idea that the felt sense of when they have more inspiration from their thoughts, how much ease can come in their life. Because this is, again, this is like a daily integration of separating you from your thoughts. So while you're on a call with a client, or, wow, I notice I'm having the thought that I'm not doing a good job, whatever it is. Or, wow, I notice I'm having the thought that I'm afraid they don't like me, whatever is coming up. Or while you're pumping gas, or and you're mad at the next driver, whatever's happening, it's an instantaneous piece that you saw can create a dramatic shift in a matter of less than a minute. So it's a very simple yet powerful tool. So that's any questions on how to use I'm having the thought? Okay. The next tool is naming your stories. And I had a client, a brand new client, who has very obsessive thinking. I was just talking to him today, and the tool that I gave him was naming his stories. So, and we really haven't had a real session. It was just kind of a consultation, but we scheduled a session. And so he's got a lot of scary thoughts because he's got a MS diagnosis. And so the homework that I gave him was when he notices he's, because he does this a lot, has obsessive thinking, I said, write it down. Write down all the obsessive thoughts that you're having. Like, because he just got diagnosed with MS, he's like, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to support my family. I'm not in control of my da-da-da, all these different things. And he's got different ones. He's got different ones about his career, about his health, about his family. And so the idea here is, one, it's helpful to write down and get out of your head, I'm just talking to you guys now, your obsessive thinking. Once you put it on paper, that's a very great step of creating space between you and your thoughts, because you can kind of see them. It's kind of like Ray saying, wow, once I started laughing at it, it was so not, she could tell it wasn't real. So one is to put it out on paper. And then naming your stories is, there's usually a whole bunch of thoughts that create this story, like, I'm never going to make money, or I'm never going to be healthy, I'm never going to succeed at coaching, you know, and underneath that could be, I can't get clients, I don't know where to get clients, I'm not a good enough coach. And then the headline of that story, it's like a newspaper article, is, I'm going to fail at coaching. That might be one that is familiar to people. But you want to name that collection of thoughts, give it a headline, because when it comes up again, you want to be like, oh, that's my, I'm never going to be successful, I'm never going to be a successful coach. That's that story that I, because our mind loops. It tells us these same freaking stories. I'm never going to make enough money, I'm never going to be a successful coach. There's whatever your shtick is, your brain repeats. And you just want to start naming those stories as stories. They're not truth. They're just this scary kind of diatribe that your mind goes through when it gets triggered. So I'm going to give you guys a little example or a little trial run of this, and it'd be great if somebody's willing to report at the end. So I want you to think of an area that you are struggling with or is creating suffering, whether, and it could be anything, but I'm going to give you a few to choose from. It could be about your coaching practice. It could be about your relationship. This is an area you're struggling with, whatever. It could be about your body or your health. It could be about money in general. So I want you to take the next, minute and a half, and I want you to pick the most painful area, and it could be something that I haven't mentioned, and I want you to write down all the thoughts that you have about that area. Another little bit to finish up. Any negative, painful struggle thoughts that create suffering for you in an area? Now, what I want you to do is step back, and I want you to read what you've written and see if there's kind of a common theme, like, oh, this is my I'll never find clients story, or I'll never be good enough story, or can't be successful story. See if there's a headline that kind of gets the general gist of these thoughts. And then I'm just going to check in and see if anybody's willing to share their thoughts and their headline, just as a way of kind of learning this tool.
All right, this is Kit. I'll do it.
Thanks, Kit.
All right.
So it'd be great if you could list your painful thoughts. And then the headline.
Okay. Here it is. It's pretty painful. It's pretty bad. So what I wrote to describe it, the thoughts are, I'm fat. I will look terrible and be embarrassed in Australia, where we're going in a month. Dan's my husband. Dan will be embarrassed of me and not attracted to my fat body. He will wish I looked better. So that's what I wrote for the thoughts. And so for a title, I wrote, this is my I'm hideous story.
Ah, right. Okay. And how painful a story. But it is, it's just that loop that your mind goes through of I'm hideous story. Now that, so I appreciate, one, that you're sharing it. And it's the idea is the story is going to come and go. There are going to be times that even in Australia where you are not thinking about I'm hideous. You're going to be engaged in whatever is happening or even leading up to this next month as before you get there. So the story is going to come and go, and you're not trying to eliminate it or change it. There is power in noticing it when it arrives, and instead of attaching to it and fully believing it, engaging it, to go, oh, that's my I'm hideous story. And all of a sudden, the story's out there, and you could also do some work around it if it is you're struggling with it. But it gives you, the idea is it gives you a little space. Now, I don't know, Kit, if you're experiencing that or if you're attached to it and believe it to be true. Tell me what's going on.
Well, I have gained about 15 pounds recently, so I'm pretty sure I'm physically
so you are
not
convinced you are right about this story.
Yes.
That 15 pounds, definitely.
Not that swimming suit and the snorkeling. Yeah.
So just noticing that, how attached you are, like you're even gathering evidence, this is so true that I'm hideous.
That I will need pants and a turtleneck. Yes, I am planning for it.
Isn't it? What time of the year? It's summer in Australia, right?
Yes, there will be snorkeling.
Okay. Okay. Well, there may be some more work to be done on this. what I would encourage you to do is to notice how often you cycle into that I'm hideous story. How often it comes up. Just track that. Don't try to change it, but do try to track it.
Okay.
Are you willing? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there is, when you start to be the observer of this story, you can actually create a distance and notice. And it's there for good reason. You know, you're something is not okay with the extra 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But absolutely. I want you to just notice how often you cycle into that, and that is just your mind trying to protect you in a way that's actually not serving you, but that's what it thinks is going to serve you best, is to remind you that I'm hideous.
Yes, and it keeps reaching for the Cheez-Its, so it's getting worse, better.
Yeah.
So the more anxious I get about it, the worse it gets.
Right. So our obsessive thinking, when we believe our thoughts, the whole reason our mind does that is actually to keep us away from our body and actually feeling. It's that experiential avoidance. So then we don't actually feel, am I actually hungry for a Cheez-It, or am I just trying to fill a void? So it's kind of like this system that works in tandem. These obsessive thoughts keep us away from our body. We can't feel it, so we can't actually answer and take care of its genuine needs, and so we do things that are counterproductive.
Okay.
So taking some of those mind-body tools, like climbing back in your body and actually showing your body some compassion and kindness, might be supportive for you to integrate, especially during this next month.
Perfect.
Are you okay?
Yes, yes. I'm hoping to be able to report in the end not only my observations, but that I had no Cheez-Its between here and there.
Well, no Cheez-Its is a bit severe. Like maybe.
Well, but you know, there's a lot of other things I could have, so it'd be okay if I didn't.
Yes.
Cheez-Its, you know.
And the whole thing is having compassion for yourself. That is really the magic balm that will support your body settling down. When we make ourselves wrong for having the Cheez-Its, and it just kind of winds it back up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I know it's painful, though. Thank you for sharing, though. That very, you know, I appreciate your vulnerability in this.
Well, thank you for your help. I'll get started.
Okay. Okay. Now, any other questions or comments about naming your story or concerns or does it make sense, anything like that? Okay, I have one more tool before we go into our coaching, the work. And so be thinking who wants to coach and who's willing to be coached, because we're going to go on to that next. But first, I'll cover fact versus fiction. Now, this is really powerful if you are caught, or you or a client is kind of caught in a story, and just like, let's say it's kind of a little bit easier if a client of yours is story fondling, like they keep telling you the same story over again, and it's nothing is shifting. And so what I suggest is that they write out their story. It could be they're upset about work, relationship, body, any of those things. And they write out all these things, and then they circle what is fiction, what is a story, and they underline fact. And so there's an example even in your binders. Like, fiction is my brother is lazy. That's my story, that my brother's lazy. The fact is my brother slept till 10 a.m. So this example is just trying to get people to disconnect their story from the data or facts. I think he drinks too much. Well, in truth, he drank 3 beers last night. And I saw him drink 3 beers the other night. And his wife told me he drinks 3 beers every night. I don't know if, you know, that's supposition, but it's what you've heard. He neglects his kids. That's the fiction. That's my story. It's a story that he's neglecting versus he didn't go to his daughter's recital last week. So this isn't it's really to notice he always is late. And that is, anytime global language is happening, it's usually your lizard brain is actually in there telling you a story. So it's very grounding to actually look at the facts. Well, he was late the last 3 times, and he was on time, you know, last month once. It's just a different sort of energy than these dramatic stories that we tell ourselves. So really the goal in fact versus fiction is to disconnect the different pieces of what, and a lot of times when somebody writes down their story, there's a whole bunch of story in their story. There's not very much facts. And when you do look at the facts, it can be quite grounding, like, well, what actually happened? So we're not going to do something about that one today, but it's a great tool for you guys to try on yourselves. One, pick an area you're struggling with. Write down your story about it, what's going on for you. He doesn't care about me. He's not on time, and I don't know why I'm in this relationship. It sucks. All that is story right now. And so if somebody is confronted with that, they can actually then go look at the data, collect the data or the facts, and that's often much more grounding. Questions with facts versus fiction? guys are just easy peasy. Now, there's also the singing your, which I think is on Amy's, you know, you can sing it as a drama, you can sing it as an opera, tragedy, love story. That's another way to, all of these tools are to break the cognitive fusion, break your fusion to the belief or to the sense that your thoughts are true. And Kit, you could even see, this is true. I'm going to be hideous. Like there's a lot of, and there's a lot of suffering in that. So it's how we link our suffering to when we're convinced that we're right. And it's to try to create more space between us and our thoughts. Questions, comments on that? Okay, well, who wants to coach and who wants to be coached? We're going to be doing the work. Russ, you could, is Russ here? You're here today, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was muted. I was talking to you. I was muted. Yeah, I'll coach if somebody wants to coach, or I'll be coached. I don't care.
Excellent. Well, let's say that you're the coach, unless somebody's, you know, like knocking you down to get in front of you, which I don't hear right now. who would like to be the client? Who's
this
willing
is Catherine,
to be the
client? I'll be the client.
Excellent, Catherine. Okay, so. You guys, so Russ, we go ahead and start and see if you can identify, you know, and you guys that are listening, remember that whole, as Russ is actually kind of chatting with what's Catherine's area of least satisfaction, because that's where we want to start, I want you guys, if you can, if you're not driving, to write that, the four-column chart of circumstances, thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And as just stand in Russ's shoes as if you're coaching Catherine and see when she's talking about her area of least satisfaction, what is she saying that's a circumstance, a thought, a feeling, and a behavior? Because that will really help you identify a couple of thoughts that you want to put forward to Catherine to see which one she wants to work. And then we'll go through the work. And Russ, you always have the option of saying, Chris Marie, I'm stuck. Can I chat with you just to check something out? And then we'll re-engage. You can re-engage. And I may jump in, of course, unasked, because that's who I am. So.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Catherine, hello.
Hey.
So, tell me what's going on.
Well, today was day 3 of a new job. So, I'm having a lot of thoughts about it. I'm not, it's going well, but my thoughts are telling me otherwise, so.
Okay, well, say more about that. The thoughts that are going on.
Well, I actually did this earlier. I'm too uptight. I can't remember what much. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Because I'm getting obsessive. They're asking me to do too much, which they really aren't, but I'm not asking enough questions, which I think I am. But so it's just, I think it's just a new job. I called it the new job jitters.
Okay,
so,
new job jitters. Okay. So, circumstances are a new job.
Yeah.
All right. You're having, you're feeling a little nervous. I hear a lot of thoughts about, oh, my God, did I make a mistake? Oh, my God, you know, am I asking the right questions? Am I asking too many questions?
Yeah.
Basically, you're having, well, yeah, new job jitters.
Yeah.
And it's, how long have you been at the job now?
Today was my third day.
Third day. Okay, so is it, I'm getting a sense that you're nervous and that you, I don't think you feel you've made a mistake. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, I think I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing pretty well. I mean, from my brain, I mean, my rational mind does, but not my lizard brain.
Okay. So what thought keeps coming up? What's the main thought about what's coming up with you in this new job? Let the lizard rip. Tell me what the lizard
he keeps
screaming at you.
Yeah, they keep adding more stuff. So I'm working virtually with students who are learning just basic office skills. You know, we're starting out with computers, and then we go to accounting or things like that. So.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, so it's like I just want to go through one altogether. Instead, he's like keeps, you know. So, day two I had one, day three I had three, and then he wants to add some more. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm doing okay because they're all brand new. So I guess we'll all learn together as we go. But.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm hearing about the job, but I want to focus on you.
Okay.
Now, when you're saying my lizard brain is going at me, what is the recurring thought that's happening with you when you're in the middle of all this craziness? What's the thought that screams out?
This is too much. Just too much going on. Too much.
Too much going on. Okay. So is that true? Is it too much for you to handle?
No, not actually. Not in the moment. No, I mean up to now. I think I'm kind of getting it, but it's just doing it all new for the first time, and it's like, ah!
Okay. So, yeah, I'm hearing that I was saying that you're feeling overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
but you're saying I'm not feeling overwhelmed. Is it? And you say that it's not true. That it's not true.
But
that
it feels true. I mean, it feels true.
But it feels true. Okay.
But in actuality, I'm keeping up. I'm making the notes like I'm supposed to, and it's just there's just so much. Ahead of me, I think, that I'm listening to some of the other people, and it's like, oh, my God, I got to do grammar? Oh, God, you know? But I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'm not there yet.
Okay. So when you hear the thought that this is too much, when suddenly you hear this little screaming voice go, this is too much, Can we say that? Let me see if I have my notes on you. Okay, can you say? You know, just say to yourself. Can you identify the moment when you say, "I'm having this thought where I'm feeling it's too much"? I mean, can you just say that out loud to yourself? Do you know where it is? When it happened, can you actually say to yourself, I'm having a thought that this is too much?
I'm not sure. I mean, because that's just because I'm so busy. I'm just juggling a lot.
Well, I'm talking about right now.
Right now. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So say that again then.
I'm having the thought that this is too much. Mm-hmm. And let's say it with feeling together.
I'm having the thought that this is way too much. This is too much. I can't handle it.
Okay. So when you hear it out loud like that, what comes to mind? What comes to the forefront right after you say it?
It's just kind of ridiculous.
Very good. Okay, so when we get into, now that you can see the ridiculousness, or you think it sounds ridiculous, now if I say, if there's a moment where you that thought comes up and we change the language to, I notice I'm having this thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that out loud.
Okay, I notice that I'm having the thought that this is too much.
Okay. And when you suddenly realize that there is somebody reacting to this thing or these things that make it sound like too much, and then you're over here watching this person, how does that make you feel?
How does it make me feel?
Mm-hmm.
So, Russ, I'm just going to check. I hear you using the ACT tools, which is great. I'm wondering if you're going to take a thought that she has to the work.
I can do that, too.
Okay.
Okay.
I love that you're practicing that. And I would just love to see also if you could take something that to the work.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a step back and go back to this feels like too much.
Okay.
All right. The work feels like too much. Can you give me a turnaround? Can you turn that around now that it feels a little ridiculous?
Oh, okay. So, Russ, I'm just going to interrupt. Remember the whole, is it true? Can you absolutely know it to be true?
True.
Go through those
mm-hmm.
four questions and then go to the turnarounds.
Okay. So, all right. So, again, we'll go back. You say that this feels like too much. Is that absolutely true?
No, I don't think it's absolutely true.
Okay. I'm writing notes while we're talking here.
All right.
So, I'm sorry, Christian Marie. I'm getting
that's
a, caught up
that's
in my
okay.
Okay. I was like, is that true? Can you say that's absolutely true?
And she said, no, she can't. So then you want to go to question three, and that's kind of how do you react when you believe the thought?
Right.
And then
when
you ask
feel overwhelmed. When you feel like it's too much, how do you react?
How do I react when I feel it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to step in. When you think the thought, go ahead and repeat her original thought. So make sure you've written that down and keep coming back to that.
What do you feel when you get the feeling that you feel it's absolutely too much, what you're doing is too much?
So, Russ, I'm just going to interrupt. So just take a breath and slow down because I think you're maybe trying to go too fast. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right.
Okay. So no worries.
I'm still in ACT and suddenly I'm back.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
No wonder because I just filled your brain with ACT. So that makes perfect sense. So on question three, and it may help to pull out the questions for the work while I'm chatting here with you.
Right.
But you want to say, you want to bring her back to, this is too much for me to handle. That was, I think, her original thought. And you want to say, think of a specific situation where that comes up. How do you react when you think the thought, this is too much for me to handle?
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to ask the three sub-questions. How do you feel in your body? How do you treat yourself? How do you treat other people? And that is going to get her to the sense of her suffering. And then you want to go to question four. You're going to take that thought away. And who would she be in that same situation without that thought? And then you go to the turnarounds, to the opposite, the self, and the other. And
I'm walking to my binder while we're talking here.
Oh, that is a good idea. That is a good idea. And I think it's in... I think they actually are questions. Yeah, it's in your first tab, Coach the Coach 2, Class 1, if you find your binder.
Mm-hmm. No, it's in the CARB, sorry. But I do have the Byron Katie Judge Your Neighbor worksheet in front of me.
They may be at the bottom of the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet.
Is that true?
Yeah, they are. They're at the bottom.
Yeah, okay, great. Perfect. Okay, so let's start with, you've gotten her through. Is it true? Can you absolutely know it to be true? So then start, put her in that specific situation. How do you react? Go ahead.
Okay. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you feel that it's too much, okay, how do you react?
So Russ, go back to the original thought. Don't talk about her feelings. You're going to ask her to talk about her feelings. How do you react when you think the thought, this is too much, way too much for me to handle?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So how do I react? Well, I get more nervous, more overwhelmed, more like I'm not doing this right. So I feel more, I think more fearful, more anxious. Those kind of go hand in hand. I think I just get more frustrated when I think that thought.
Okay. So what goes on in your body? What are you sensing in your body when that happens?
So in my body, my neck and shoulders get tight. My forehead gets tight sometimes. I can get a headache. I didn't today. My stomach can get really tight, and around the rib cage, I can, if I focus on it, I can notice that the rib cage is especially painful. My breathing is shallow.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Anything else?
Those are the main things.
Okay. All right. So with this thought, when you're in your body and you're feeling this, this thought screams out at you and you feel this in your body. Now, who would you be if we just took that thought away? Who would you be without that thought? This is too much.
Without the thought, I'm just doing the work, and I'm figuring it out as I go, and I'm asking questions as I go along, and I'm still learning, so I'm not, completely relaxed, but I just know it's all going to work out, and,
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so now, can you take the thought and turn it around for yourself? Your thought is.
Do you want it to be the opposite? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the opposite of that. Let me see. Let me go back and see. So what did I say? This is too much for me to handle. Is that what I said?
Yeah, but that's a good way to put it. The thought is, I feel this.
So if I turn that around, or if I do the opposite, this is not too much for me to handle.
Very good. Very good. Okay. So, Chris Marie?
Yeah?
There is, the other is, it's kind of a vague list, and I remember we're not, sometimes there isn't a second or third question. If she says, this is not too hard for me to do, So this is not a subject. I mean, this can we, do we have to be more defined, like this job is not too much for me to handle? Should we be?
Well, one thing, just the first piece is you have to go collect the evidence collect the evidence for this first turnaround that this is not too much for her to handle. So get the evidence for that. Before you do that, I'm just going to give you a little heads up. You can also turn it around to the self where I know it's not this, it is referring to this job, but she can stand in those places. So you can turn it around to the self for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so just try to get the evidence and then we'll chat.
All right. So give me three pieces of evidence to tell me this is not too much for you to handle.
Let's see. This is not too much for me to handle. I had three clients today, and one person didn't show up, but but I was ready. I was ready. I had three clients today, and I was ready, and I could have handled it if everybody showed up. Let's see, more evidence.
Just one more.
Let's see, more evidence. I think I've learned the basic tools. I learned the basics of the basic tools. I feel comfortable with the basic tools that we use.
Okay.
In doing just the basics, not the advanced, but I think I get all the tools so far.
Well, sounds like pretty good evidence to me.
Yeah.
All right. So we move on to the next turnaround. Okay. This is not too much for you to handle, or too much for me to handle. Okay, so we turn it over to the other.
To the self, I think.
Went to the self already.
You can't do the self on this one.
You can do the self. You only have done the opposite. So, I'll just give you a little heads up. The self. Catherine takes all the roles in the sentence, and that is doable.
Right.
And the other, she would just switch roles with this, and you could put this job if you wanted to fill it out.
Okay. So let's have you play all the roles, Catherine.
Okay. This would be, I guess, a job. So I am too much. For me to handle, like, I don't know, is that right?
That's it.
She is too much for her to handle. This language thing is killing me. Okay.
Okay, so I'm too much for me to handle.
To make grammatic sense, and it may be enough sideways that it can jog something.
Well, I feel I guess you know, with the lizard brain and new things, it's like I'm making a mountain out of a molehill.
Okay.
I am too much for me to handle. Well, I have a pattern of, you know, my pattern, my lifelong pattern is just doing what I'm doing. My pattern is when doing something new, like a job, that I kind of freak out at first. And then, once I learn it, then I'm fine, but it's just, I don't know. It's just been a pattern all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's, when I think about it, like in just talking to you, it's like, oh, yeah, this is what I do.
Okay.
Are we going to do the other or not?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Let's go. Let's go with that.
Oh, let's see. So if I my job is too much for me to handle. I am too much for my job to handle.
Mhm.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mhm.
Does that resound?
I am too much for my job to handle.
For this job to handle.
Oh, I am too much for this job to handle. I am too much for this job to handle.
Ask her for the evidence, Russ.
Yeah. This happens to me.
Well, I know I'm probably overqualified, but I know they're gonna.
Wow, very good.
Yeah, and the deal is that once I learn this role, then they're gonna let me do some other things. But they want me to learn what everybody does. Oh, I know that. But still, I get the same pattern going. I am too much for this job to handle. I don't know. That's all that comes to me right now.
Okay. So the opposite.
No, we did that already, I think.
Okay. Yes, we did. Okay. So in going over what you've realized about yourself, how do you feel?
Well, good. Yeah. Yeah, I really like the first two.
Russ, this is where you want to ask her, not how she feels, but more ask her, here's the original thought. Which one of these turnarounds, and then say each one of them, is
mm-hmm.
as true or truer than your original thought? Try that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in listening to you articulate what you just said, I am. This job is not too much for me to handle. I am too much for my job to handle. Which one resonates best with you?
I guess the opposite. This is not too much for me to handle.
Very good. Okay, and you created the evidence for yourself. So,
yeah,
so we're at the end. So we come to the end of this, and this is where I usually have problems with my clients. It's like kind of like wrapping it all up in a bow.
So this is where you want to ask, so how can you live that turnaround this next week as you carry on in this day 4, 5, and 6, 7 with her job? So
okay.
How can she remind herself of that thought? This is where you could also suggest if she has the thought, this is too much for me to handle, she could use some of the ACT tools. So, but ask her what she can do to live this turnaround going forward.
All right. So, Catherine, knowing what you know now, how can you live this turnaround for yourself?
Well, I really like some of the things I came up with. So maybe just like list, additional evidence of how the turnaround this is not too much for me to handle. So I like maybe just having a list of those and adding onto that list as the days go on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've worked earlier with the ACT tools and maybe just catching the thought and and saying some of those things to myself, like, what did we say?
I'm having this thought that
this is too much for me to handle. And I really like the audio that we listened to with Amy, you know, where she's singing a song.
Yes.
I just thought that was, yeah, I was listening to it again yesterday. And, yeah, I had a little song for something else that I was dealing with. So I guess that's something else I'd like to do, is to come up with a song.
Start a singing career. Terrific.
Yeah. Well, in my head, yeah.
Okay. So let.
All right.
I think that's good, Russ. So let's. We'll just do some debrief and feedback. So, Russ, what did you like that you did? Where did you struggle?
I can tell when I have a new tool in the toolbox. I'm a little eager about throwing it out there. So. And then it's almost like the other tool kind of gets put up in a corner. I mean, I think in the beginning the work would have been a lot better to start with than try to go into the ACT tools right away. And I think that's where I'm going to have to, like, just kind of, as I look at my notes, I'm just going to have to kind of create a pattern for myself and actually write slow down in the corner over here.
Mm.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Is there something you like that you did?
Well, I felt comfortable with the tool. Well, at least I did. I feel comfortable with the tool for a little while, the new tool. But again, I have to remind myself that their old tools are the right tools to pull out. This is when I love Alan's thing about saying, you have the toolbox, pull out the right wrench when you're working with something. So I think that's probably
okay.
I felt down. But also that when the tool does come out, I think I have a pretty good feel for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Catherine, what did you like that Russ did, and where were there any areas that you struggled?
Well, I wanted to send him, I've got my own format that I fill in when I do this. So I was like, I need to send this to him.
yeah, definitely.
Let's see. Yeah, so, I mean, he's, you're very personable, and, I think you're easy to talk to, and we did get to a, some good things that I can use, so I thought that was good that I came up. The end, came up with some things that I think will really work in moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, Russ, are you willing to hear from me?
Sure.
One, I really, appreciate that you were like, I want to try the tool we just learned, because it was fresh in your mind. So I get that. And you found a way even at the end to kind of bring that back in with Catherine. So I want to acknowledge that. I notice I'm having the thought that this is too much for me to handle as she goes on to her job. So my thought is that there's having the actual steps in front of you, whether it's Catherine's fill in the format sort of thing or the four questions would help, because there were some pieces that I thought you missed, and I don't think you would have missed them had you just had some grounding in the having the form in front of you. So that's not a...
Well,
horrible thing.
No, I think prep. I feel terrible that I didn't have the binder in front of me. I felt terrible that I wasn't prepared. And that's
that's okay. And I called on you, so I asked. But if you don't feel ready, you can always say, "Hey, Chris Marie, let me run out to my car and get my binder," or something like that.
Okay.
So
right.
Feel free to say that.
Okay.
And this will serve as a nice review for everybody, because I'm just going to review how to run through. One, pick up make sure you have a specific situation that thought, whatever it is, the painful thought, this one was, this is way too much for me to handle, the situation that comes up with. Is it true? Can you absolutely know it to be true? And then question three is really the goal is to get her or get the client having them have a real sense of the suffering. So in that situation, when you think the thought, this is way too much for me to handle, how do you react? And you got the body question, and I thought that was great. You know, she talked about how she was feeling, but you said, and how does that show up in your body? And I thought, awesome. You also want to say, ask, how do you treat yourself? And how do you treat others to get some more depth into that suffering piece? And then I thought you did great with, okay, you're in that same situation. Let's pull that thought out of your head. You can't think that thought. Who would you be? And she was able to connect. So that was great that you did in that way. And the turnarounds, that is just going to be practice, the opposite. But you want to keep, you want to make sure you're writing down the original thought so that, because sometimes the client is so much in their thinking, they get lost, so you want to be the anchor. Like your original thought is, this is too much for me, and help them turn it around to the opposite, so you're guiding them. This is not too much for me. And then turn it around to the self, meaning you take all the roles in the sentence. Oh, I'm too much for me to handle. Okay. And then turn it around to the other. This is where you switch, and you were great because you knew, hey, she might have to put this job. I'm too much for this job to handle. And, you know, there was valuable bits in each one of them, and you never know what the client's going to go, oh, that really, I hadn't thought of that. and then how are you going to live this turnaround? And I love that you introduced the ACT tools in that piece for her to get some distance around it because she knows this is a pattern. It's something that she does every time she starts a new job. So, and that just comes from practice. And the good news is you're going to continue to practice the work all the way through the training. So I want to, you know, I really appreciate you for volunteering, Russ, and don't ever feel, you know, shy about saying, I need to find my tools. So hold on for a minute.
Under the spare tire in the car. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's under the spare tire. I have a little bit of concern about that. Is that true?
No, that's true.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, I dog toys, equipment, you know, all that.
I do. Okay, so we have a few more minutes. Are there any other comments or questions just even about the work that Russ and Catherine did or about what I've said or the work or the ACT tools before we end our call and our time together? Because this is the end of the time that I'm going to be working with you.
Hi, Chris. This is Ray again, and I have a question, of course.
Okay, Ray.
So, first of all, just that was neat to listen to, and I thought it was cool how Russ just jumped in there because I would have been totally horrified to have to coach the work in front of other people. So I thought that was great. My question is something you mentioned and something I noticed Byron Katie does when I watch recordings of her. And she has the person get really specific about a moment that they're having the thought.
Yeah.
And she keeps it in one specific moment where they last thought it. And I'm wondering why is that? I get that it's necessary, but I'm not sure why. Like, instead of just talking about the belief in general terms, why is it important to have the client place himself or herself back in one particular moment?
The reason it's really powerful to have that specific moment is because you're accessing the trigger of when that belief gets kicked off. So let's say, and I'm just making this up with Catherine's story, so Catherine, mm-hmm. please forgive me, but let's say it's when her boss says, oh, by the way, you have another student you're going to teach today, and that's when she's like, holy fuck, this is way too much for me to handle. Like, mm-hmm. because that's the moment of she could actually choose something different in that moment the next time it occurs.
Okay. That makes sense. The trigger. Okay. Great. Thank you.
You bet. Great question. I love when you guys have questions, comments. Anyone else? Okay, you guys. Well, this has been great. I bid you adieu, but I'm still available if you want to reach out to me personally via email, I think you can find that on the forum site. I'm happy to help. Otherwise, I would encourage you guys to continue to practice the work. It is a foundational tool with the Martha Beck training that I think you'll really get a lot of value out of. And, yeah, you guys have been great, and we're done. So signing off. Say goodbye, Gracie. That's an old
Thanks,
Chris.
Bye,
Gracie.
Bye,
Chris. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you. Thanks for volunteering, Russ. Take care, you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.